Hello and welcome back, Fife fans. We're back for episode 8 of our insightful, delightful and sometimes spiteful podcast, Fife Club.
I like that.
The first rule is, as always, please talk about Fife Club. We desperately want you to talk about us. Validate us!
Wow.
Seriously though. If you do think there are others that may enjoy our special brand of weekly entertainment, then let them know. Retweet, share, like, all of that. We do appreciate your guys' help. Spread the word. On with the introductions.
With us, as always, is the Rumbler from Versailles.
Wow, Jamie, that went really well.
I forgot though.
I love the way you begged for an introduction.
I just forgot.
And then that's what you delivered. I was going to say, like, with his intro, with Catchy's intro, he was more like sort of like a needy Jay-Z there. Some rapping and then just like, I need validation. Tell your mummy special little boy.
It's like an Eminem then. So you just go Catchy.
I'm leaving all that in.
Shit.
So, yeah, with me, Catch, this week is Iron Fist superfan Jamie.
Hello.
Fist of the North Star, Mark.
That sounds dirty. It's already dirty.
And this is in quotes, I like a good fist. Beatty. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Beatty couldn't be with us today because he's got a bit of a headache. So instead, we have a double first this week. First guest and first guest without a Y chromosome.
Nice.
I like how you check.
It's our green-fingered green fist, Mags.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Mags. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Hello. Thank you. It is an honour to be here. I'm very excited to break up the sausage fest that has been Fife Club so far. Yes, it's nice to be here. I've been telling you for ages you should have a woman on. Finally, you crumbled and invited me.
Well, I just got really into trouble by making a bad joke about women and then women hating me. So, you know, it's good. Some of my best friends are women. I've got proof.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Mags.
I think that's desperate, mate.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be not the most hated member of Fife Club, which is really what I'm really cultivating at the moment. The bad boy of Fife Club, yeah.
What did Jamie, you say about women? Did I miss that?
Yeah, I made like a joke where I was pretending to play the pretend bigot. Like, misogynistic joke.
Oh, and like the role that you always play in our friendship group.
Wow.
Is that what it is?
And you wonder why I hate women. They twist everything. So going back, we should ask Mags what podcast she listens to.
Yeah.
Since this is what started us off.
Okay. So I have been listening to Fife Club, I would like to say. I am kind of new to podcasts, I have to say. I am a very much a radio person, and I listen to a lot of Radio 4. Mm-hmm.
They go hand in hand.
Well, they do go hand in
hand.
Just
in our time, it's very good.
Fucking love In Our Time.
You get 15 more minutes on in the podcast.
So
as well,
I listen to a lot of BBC stuff, which is essentially podcasts. I love In Our Time. I love Thinking Aloud.
Yes.
My god! Like Laurie Watts's face is amazing, and I like kind of fancy his voice. And it was a long time before I realised he was about 80. I feel really dirty now. But yeah, Thinking Aloud. And also the other thing I really love is More or Less. Have you ever listened to that?
No.
That's a Radio 4 program about statistics, and it kind of. It's generally just, it picks like a statistic, like an often quoted statistic or a statistic that's been in the news and it breaks it down and it's really interesting.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
So yeah, you should look at it More or Less.
Is that Ben Goldacre? Because I know he did something like that before.
Did he do a podcast?
He did Bad Science, but he also did a breaking down public statistics thing as well. And then he had, he did an interview with, I want to say it was Jeremy Haywood, head of the civil service, to talk about like evidence-based policy. And it was bloody interesting, I have to say.
I bet.
Nice. Another question on that is, how do you feel talking to the invisible audience?
Oh, you've got me worried now. I wasn't thinking there was an audience. I thought we were just... I was already a bit creeped out about the fact, because today we're recording in Mark's living room, which about 15 years ago was my sister's living room, and then was cut...
She definitely had sex in
it. She has pretty much definitely... Actually, no. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Anyway.
Dear
but,
God, no.
But then Clutch and Kirsty lived here, and then I've not been in this room for about 10 years or so, and now all of a sudden we're back this room, which is very nice.
That was kind of my reaction first time I came in as well. It's like, oh, didn't think I'd be back up here, but here we are. That's, as we've said, and you know, me and Jamie started this off just ourselves, so it's kind of been an opportunity to kind of make something and create something, and it's grown arms and legs a little bit, but it's been good fun so far, I think. I don't think there's been a bum note between any of us.
Well, I was going to say, Coach. Did you not hear my intro there?
This is the last podcast, guys.
and also the fact that Beaker couldn't be here because he made a wicker man.
And then I was there yesterday. There was a fire in his back garden. I can confirm that.
Is that why he has a headache now, though?
No. He has a headache.
Is it all the metal fumes from the metal bin that you melted?
Yeah. He has a headache because he was washing his hair.
But I'm telling you, I like the idea of building a wicker man. Yeah. Like, where in Fife, if you were going to build a wicker man in Fife, where would you build it? Because I genuinely think,
No, 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 middle of the public park. Like,
The public
where the spiders live was.
Where the spiders yes!
What else would you replace the tallest building in Dunfermline with?
Guys, I saw an amazing thing the other day in the public park, and we've been looking after a friend's dog this weekend, so I was in the public park at like 6 in the morning and 10 o'clock at night, and it was a bit weird, and I saw a guy practicing for the triple jump where the spider's web used to be, and it was and I stood and watched him for like about 15 minutes. It was actually really fascinating to watch, but he was just
I suppose it's all soft in wood chips.
Well, I think that's what it was.
Was he also trying to get to the same height as what the spider's web used to be?
Possibly.
That's hell of a high, like.
I assumed he was practicing for the triple jump, but he was maybe just doing a dance of sadness. The spider's web isn't there
anymore. Maybe try to climb the spider's web.
Maybe the imaginary spider's web.
Isn't there something coming back? There's like Playground Mark 2.
Yeah, they're fundraising for it.
But it's not going to be a spider's web. No. The council said
that's insane that the council isn't funding a new park after they tore it down. Yeah. That's absolutely absurd.
So just the other thing I want to say is that's like how much there needs to be a new park, because apart from the spider's web, which is gone and we're all very sad about, you know, if you go under the tunnel, like under the tunnel along to Cumley Park, the little park that looks like it was left at fucking Chernobyl. Seriously, that is bleak as fuck. There's like the paint on the animals is flaking off around the eye to make them look like they're all crying, staring at this metal plane which is desperate to fly off into the sunset.
You know, they painted it about 10 years ago. They painted it all up because it was in that state in the paint, and it was looking all right. You know, the aeroplane and the train and everything got all a lick of paint. But
when I was walking past, all it needed was one gust of wind to make one of those spring things go. It was fucking weird.
It's sort of like the scene in Terminator 2 at the play park, and it's just full of skulls.
Well, speaking about the best place to put a wicker man in Fife, I just came back from a talk on the Citizen Spire. As far as I know, there's no human sacrifice involved. But it's still in the early stages. We could talk to him about
I was going to say, like, if there was a wicker man discovered in Fife, it would be in, like, Kinghorn or Aberdour.
Oh, definitely. They're weird in Aberdour.
They are.
Do you know anybody from Aberdour?
No.
Nobody knows.
My uncle and auntie are there.
Well.
Uncle Jim's from Aberdour.
That kind of makes sense.
Because Uncle Jim is great at breaking out of things. He's trying to break out of the claustrophobic community of weirdos that live in Aberdour. Great bakery, though.
So the Citizen Spire thing, we talked about it, I think, in our second podcast. We mainly took a piss out of it, but that was because of where we thought it was going to be placed, which was in the wasteland in between the new bridge and the sewage plant.
And the dockyard.
So, you know, we thought it'd be made out of shit and nuclear submarines. But they're actually, so it's a project to, it's a monument, but it'll also house, it'll be hollow on the inside and have several levels. Mm-hmm. It'll be taller than the plans just now are about 1 1/3, I think, times taller than the Statue of Liberty.
All right, okay.
And inside you'll have, you know, you'll have a lecture theatre, you also have all sorts of different things. And the whole idea is to promote citizenship in Scotland and for people to go there and to make themselves, you know, like the act of like making people citizens and people to go there and do things. It would obviously also act as an economic boost and a nice pretty thing as well. And I'll be honest, when I first heard the idea, I was like, I'm not really sure. But after going to it tonight, there was a lot of speakers. There was Richard, I want to say Jacobs, that's not right.
Jobson.
Yeah. Richard Jobson was there. Yeah. Robin McAlpine was meant to be there but couldn't make it.
Alright.
Oh, that's Maggie's.
Maggie's crush.
Yeah, Maggie's Scottish politics crush.
I saw it was in the paper and I was just, with moving house this week, I couldn't really justify going, but when I saw Robin McAlpine was going to be there, I did have a little moment to miss it.
Well,
that was a very polite way to put it.
he's your Cat Boyd, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a thing for Cat Boyd?
Do you remember at the Radical Defence Conference where you turned to me and went, "You really fancy her"? And I said, "Yes, I totally do."
You can have Cat Boyd and I'll have Rob McAlpine.
Sounds fair. Sounds fair. Aye, so that's just an inspiring thing. But we're talking about now, I mean, the site isn't really, you know, they're so early.
Yeah,
the site isn't nothing. Determined, but they have spoken to the landowner now of, you know, the old open cast mine up near Kelty, which is
which was half
landscape.
St Ninians, yeah.
Yeah, St Ninians. Yeah. That's where we're
talking about.
That's where we're talking about, but it could go anywhere, really. So
I think this is really interesting because when I first heard about it in the Dunfermline Press, like a lot of people, and they put this front cover thing saying, "Oh, this ridiculous idea, is it this terrible?" And then all of a sudden, within a couple of days, this entire art exhibition opened at the fire station where there's lots of paintings and there's lots of things. And clearly, Ian Moyer, the guy behind it, has been thinking about this for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I got the feeling that the entire thing was perhaps just a conceptual art project. He had no intention of ever actually doing it, produce an awful lot of materials very quickly about it. But that's really good,
There's an architectural drawing by a local architect. I think most of the paintings in the exhibition just now are by Ian Moyer, which my dad, George Brown, actually did a 3D model of that you could walk through. Yeah, I think you can find it on the Fire Station website. I might be wrong.
Maybe link it up.
But it's an interesting idea, which at first I was kind of like, things are very centralised in Scotland already.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried it would just centralise citizenship. But after speaking to people about it, it's actually kind of interesting.
I really like the idea of having a centre for citizenship. I think the design of it is really clunky. It's basically just a massive pyramid.
Yeah, but if you see the actual architectural drawings of the inside of it, it looks much better. Okay. And it's the pyramid thing, you know, it's kind of like, it's meant to be sort of striking. And it's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. And they're saying on the pyramid it won't just be, they'll have projectors on it, so it won't just be
okay.
The classicist in me is like having like palpitations about this like giant silver spire. But at the same time, I think it's a good idea. And like, if we need something, like promoting citizenship's a good thing. Mm-hmm. We're obviously probably lining up for another independence referendum. But there's going to be a period where, as much as there's going to be lots of people positively engaged with the process, there's going to be lots of people just being dicks to each other. And you know, anything that feels like it's countering being a dick to each other is a good thing. And also in terms of location as well, I think putting it there is quite good. It's got like joining up that part of Fife that doesn't really have much. It's quite disparate in terms of like all the little mining villages and whatever. And it's also on the main road going up north as well. So the people from Dundee can like really embrace culture. Like to show off to them one last moment of showing up. Leaving a place of culture before they start reaching Tayside.
Who would have ever thought that we would have said Fife was a place of culture?
Yeah. I think we're only comparing to Dundee.
It actually just made me think it might be a plan to actually start the Fife independence movement for the kingdom. The spire could be like an indomitable fortress.
Where I always said that I like claim to be the king of Fife.
The Cetido.
You go to King's Barnes and just start ordering people about.
You sir will be my first knight.
Oh yeah, I'm behind you now. Let's do this.
That's all we did.
There's an Irvin Welsh novella called The King of Fife, and it's based around a guy who lives in Cowdenbeath, and he constantly claims to be the King of Fife, and it's very funny. It's worth a
read. Never heard of it.
It's in a series of short stories that if you liked school, you'll hate work or something like that. It was a series of short stories, but at the end of it, there was like a 150-page novella called The King of Fife. It's very very funny, and it's a very true depiction. I just always have this abiding memory of it's all set in Cowdenbeath, and then there's one sort of chapter or one scene of it where they go to Dunfermline to see all the posh people in Dunfermline. And he's overwhelmed by the size of the houses in Dunfermline. It's really good.
Well, there's people there from Kelty Council, and I think maybe from Cowdenbeath as well. But that area, until recently, was the only place left of a communist council member in the UK. Yeah. And they went just a couple of months ago, wasn't it? A few months ago. It's a real shame.
We might talk about this later on.
Oh, we might do.
Yeah.
Can I just say one staggering piece of ignorance? I've never read anything by Irvin Welsh.
Really? Not Trainspotting?
Not read Trainspotting. Not read any of them. But I don't know why I've not done it. I just happen to have not done it.
Like, Trainspotting's, like, the film obviously is a great film, but the books, it's just the level of detail the book goes into. In fact, it's even...
Where to jag.
it gets really quite vulgar at points, but it's really
I think if I'd seen if I'd seen a copy in a charity shop, I would have bought it. Mm-hmm. I just happened not to have seen a copy in a charity shop, so I've not bought it.
But now you see copies of it everywhere.
I hope so.
Reticular activating system. That's what that is.
Okay. What the fuck is that?
Yeah. Well, someone's replaced Koch with a computer.
reticular activating system. So, like, you won't notice something until it's on your mind. So it's that thing of, like, when you buy a car or a phone, you will maybe look at a phone and start researching that phone, or a car, you'll start researching that car, and you'll think, I've never seen that on the street, and then you will do nothing but see that car, and that will be the only car you see.
I thought some bullshit the universe will provide for you thing, but
going into Noel Edmonds territory there.
That whole thing of when you're looking at something and it's the prominent thing in your mind, that you will see it everywhere.
Is that the second Noel Edmonds reference on this podcast? I don't know if I told the story on the first one I was on about claiming to have brought Noel Edmonds back.
Was this because the universe let you bring him back?
Yeah. You requested it to the universe, and the universe delivered.
I was talking a lot about Noel Edmonds for a period of time, and he was in the absolute wilderness after his helicopter
accident
and killed all the disabled kids.
Do you want to know what?
It may or may not be. May or not be an internet rumor.
I remember we were spreading that around and telling people that with, like, most, you know, dead serious faces, the whole lot. People eating it up about how it was Jeremy Beadle's fault because they got drunk the night before. And
I forgot he did.
Yeah, and it's like, spread this on.
And he said, take the stick because he was wasted.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Beadle couldn't control it with his hands
because he used his small hand. Wow. But I remember that, and then I remember one day that story being told back to me, and that was one of my proudest moments.
I'm like the first person, I think it was friend of the podcast Neil McPhillips that told me that first time. And because, like, you, like, obviously now there's a rumour about somebody, you go, like Phil Collins is an anti-Semite or something like that.
That is utterly believable.
For example, you can quickly go onto Google and type in Phil Collins anti-Semite, right? And then you can check if he's been accused or not. That's all I'm saying.
We are verging into libelous territory.
Yeah, we
need to be quite careful.
Allegedly. Not even allegedly. He isn't. Well, allegedly.
Wait a minute. Could you all tell me, because I'm going to put in Phil Collins, and if the first thing that comes up is he an anti-Semite, then Mark's wrong.
I'm not saying that that's true. I just, for some reason...
So, no, Phil Collins, is he dead? Phil Collins, Isle of Wight? Phil Collins is a potato. Phil Collins is dead. Phil Collins is anybody listening.
Yep.
If it's a potato, he won't just be an anti-Semite, he'd be anti-blight as well.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, my word.
Oh. Jesus.
Yeah, I still slightly feel bad that my joke was left in the last one. My entire Irish family have just disowned me.
I couldn't leave that out. That was a classic in the moment.
Anyway.
So actually, that brings me to a good point. If you don't know, and you are listening, at the end of every episode, about a minute or two after we finish, I've been sticking in little cuts where...
Basically, Kaj takes advantage of us saying something that we think is off the record, and then it gets recorded, and then everyone thinks you're a dick.
Most of it is bits that are cut out, bits where we maybe just guffed stuff up, or where it's maybe just not been quite on theme, but maybe still worth having in. So I have been sticking those in, so something to keep your ear out for. Don't stop it straight away, basically, is what I'm saying. Or do, it's up to you.
Or possibly listen to it 3 or 4 times, just to boost our downloads.
That was a secret show, but now it's not a secret anymore.
But
what's it going to be called?
That would just be called The Extra Bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Do you know, I think that's something that we're missing. Do you remember when we were younger and sometimes you bought a CD and there'd be a secret track at the end of it?
Yes.
You don't get that anymore. Now people don't get CDs or things. You don't get the secret track.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's kind of why, it's like also if you download it, you know, because it'll tell you it's 25 minutes long. But it's why I've done this. There's a few podcasts I listen to that do a similar thing, and I've just thought, aye, it's actually quite a good idea. And some of the bits, they're not good enough for the main pod, but it can be quite funny just as a wee bit extra at the end.
And just to Phil Collins's lawyers, I don't mean any of it. It's just random coincidence.
I can hear them calling.
Jeez. Jesus. Oh, I was going to do an angry rant about something, but James cheered me up. Right on the
money.
Well,
I think we're probably at about the right time for you to give us your little angry rant. New segment this week, Mark's Moan.
I've no idea why it's really pissed me off this week, but I think it's because... like
you're watching too much TV?
Yeah, so I'm like...
Need a job.
Yeah, I basically need a job. I haven't owned a TV for like... Well, I've owned a TV, but never had like access to TV. Like normal TV, so I don't see adverts. Yeah. And now I see adverts. Oh my god, how fucking lazy is it? Everyone's doing a Donald Trump impression. Like, I'm just constantly sick of it. As soon as somebody says it, you're just like, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm turning over.
It's the problem with it is, as well, is like they're doing an impression, but it's an impression, a straightforward impression, because they can't parody them.
No, exactly.
There's no satire. Yeah,
there's no adding anything to it. No.
Yeah. And that's where it does become unfunny is because there's just literally no satire in Donald Trump. He's his own joke.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So that's been annoying me. And the other thing is the new Haribo advert. Right, I absolutely...
This has been going on for a long time.
A long time.
Yeah, like years.
So I've not seen this advert. Can you give me a blow-by-blow description?
I will do. I'll introduce
and
by saying...
And sing any
what,
of the jingles that are involved as well.
That will not happen. So basically, like, I absolutely cannot fucking stand when people voice mix between like adults that speak like children or babies, or babies and children that speak like adults. Remember like the Andrex advert or something where they were talking about toilet roll, and there's a little baby dressed in a suit speaking like an adult. I fucking hate that. Get that absolutely to fuck. Right? I absolutely cannot stand it. If you are in everyday life and a baby is wearing a suit and starts like talking like an adult, you're gonna fucking burn it on the Aberdour. Sacrifice it at the Aberdour wicker man, because you know that shit is not right. You need to get rid of it. Like, you need extra nails for the coffin. But this one is the opposite. It is adults doing a baby voice. So you're standing there. There's some commuters at a possibly like a slightly out of London type train station. They're all standing on the platform, like what looks like morning, eating a little bag of Haribo and then talking like babies about it. Now, like, I hate that premise in the first place. But what really concerns me is that there's not one person standing behind them who has some kind of giant pushing device who isn't hearing these people speaking like babies and pushing them all in one onto the tracks ahead of the oncoming train. I mean, like, I understand that, like, that's going to be traumatic for the driver, but seriously, if he knew what was happening, he'd take one for the team. All that blood and gore splashing up in the front of his train, the severed limbs and the non-ending nightmares would be enough. So, like, seriously, he'd fucking man up. Like, I'm telling you.
Haribo are shit-tier sweets as well, so...
They are low grade.
I don't know. I have to say,
they're good for a wee sugar pick me up.
They are my absolute number one choice for long car journey sweeties. Yeah. Like
barley sugars for me.
It's a sooky sweet.
Well, I know, but you want
jellies like jelly sweets and
you want to eat them all really quickly and then get hyper and then about an hour and a half into the journey have a massive sugar crush hope that you're not the one that's driving at the time.
Percy Pig from Marks and Spencer's is also a good.
Well, I would categorise that in the same family as Haribo's.
Because it's Marks and Spencer's that escalate above Haribo, or because it's a generic supermarket brand, effectively.
No, it's definitely above it because not only do they do Percy Pigs, but they do vegan options.
The vegan Colin the Caterpillar ruined Colin the Caterpillar. They were excellent until they went vegan, just like anything.
Are they vegan?
So
every time there's someone's birthday at work, we get a Colin the Caterpillar cake, and there's quite a lot of us at work. Colin the Caterpillar
is like a jelly sweet.
Colin the Caterpillar is a cake.
I don't think that's called Colin.
Okay.
Not like your dad, who's called Colin. Famously.
For the listeners out there, my dad is called Chris.
Colin's fine.
this is a 20-year running joke where Mark just assumes that, like, it's adamant my dad's called
Colin.
Your dad
does look more like a Colin than a Chris.
Absolutely. Absolutely looks like that.
Your dad.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But anyway. So I think I'm probably over my wee rant now. But it just...
Yeah, no, the adverts, whenever they're on, it's always a roll of the eyes.
And then shite altogether.
I have a really weird bias against... against Southern English accents on kids. I find them obnoxious. I don't know why.
You must really hate Oliver.
Needy little git.
Give us an example of when.
What, Haribo adverts? I just find them like, oh, my kid talked like that. I could move to South of England and have kids because I'd hate my child.
They are exceedingly generic, aren't they? Yeah. It's just like your average stand-in child.
Yeah. It's like Nivea for Men adverts with adults as well. We're very just south of England. I don't know how to describe it.
But
terrible.
We should say, though, that if either Haribo or Nivea want to make a financial contribution, be greatly appreciated, and we would happily do a section, or if Phil Collins wants to.
If you want to come in and do a live session,
Actually, no. I'll defend him against any accusations that may have been made, but he's a shite musician.
No, I disagree.
He's not a great dancer either.
Oh dear.
That was strange.
You've really forced that. So, Kutch, what else is coming up? You should probably take control of the podcast again.
Yeah, I probably should. So, it is. We've missed it for a few weeks, but we are going to do another Fantasy Fight Club.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what I was doing there. I've had a beer. Out of control now.
He's a little bit leery. Yeah. So, yeah, welcome to the Fantasy Fight Club. We have a tremendous fight card for you tonight, so settle in as we pit a fantasy fight each in our specially constructed nonagon and discuss their merits and how we think the fight will go. Let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah.
Let's get ready, PJ and Duncan.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Watch us wreck the mic.
Psych!
Wow.
So. Yeah. Who'd like to go first?
Max, you're a special guest.
This is a lot of pressure coming up with a good fight. I had a big long list of potential fights
in the 2 hours notice you had.
I'm sorry. I am a fan and a listener of Fight Club as well. Yeah. And I have been thinking for recently about what I would talk about if I ever got the honour of coming on Fight Club, my potential fights. But quite a few of them, I had to be careful about what I would say. And that they potentially might be libelous or get me into trouble at work about things I was saying about people.
And that's my job.
So anyway,
Hear that, Phil Collins. It's all yeah. Yeah.
Instead, today I've gone for something. As you guys know, I'm a big fan of quizzes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yeah.
And
yeah.
quizzing in general, pub quizzes, TV quizzes, all that kind of stuff. So tonight's, I would like to battle my two current. Now, my favourite quiz depends, it varies from year to year, but at the moment, my two current favourite TV quiz shows are University Challenge and yep. Only Connect. So I would like to pitch University Challenge and Only Connect against
now,
each other.
Can I say one thing very quickly first?
Mm-hmm.
I like my friend and former colleague, in fact, like who was my protege in my previous job, Sophie Reid. I hope she's listening to this because she made me watch Only Connect once because she had some pretty strident opinions on it. Those are opinions that I share.
Oh.
So this is going to get tasty.
Yes.
Could you see? I think I've only seen bits of Only Connect. See, I've never seen it all the way through.
So. Okay, right. So everyone knows what University Challenge is. Really yes. simple format. Yep. Classic, posh, privileged children, Jeremy Paxman in a room together, fighting it out, incredibly difficult questions, and you feel hugely superior about yourself when you get any of them right.
On average, like, about 3-ish.
Yeah. So that's University Challenge, classic, been going for years. Only Connect, newcomer to the scene. Although, actually, it's on about the 13th series now.
Really?
It was a BBC 4 original for a long time, and then in the last couple of years, it's moved to BBC 2. Victoria Coren Mitchell, very sassy, funny female host. No, Mark shaking his
head. Disagree with that already.
Is she Scottish?
No, she is David Mitchell's other half.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, no. Do you not like her? Oh, she's hilarious. I love her. She's also...
I actually cannot think
who she is. Do you not know who she is? She's the sister of Giles Coren, the incredibly posh Times restaurant critic and TV presenter. Anyway, it's two teams playing it out against each other, but it's all about connections, and it's quite obscure connections. It's kind of like the cryptic crossword version of TV shows. And when you first watch it, it can be quite impenetrable. But when you get into it, you start to see, like cryptic crosswords, there's different types of questions, there's different types of patterns, and it's all about spotting the connection between different clues.
Okay.
So your first couple of rounds, it gives you different clues.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, no. God, she's just seen a picture of Victoria Coren Mitchell. Do you not like her either?
No.
No? Oh, well.
Do you know who I always get her confused with as well?
Who?
It's Louise Mensch, and that doesn't help.
Oh, my God. No, they're very different people. They have very different opinions. So Victoria Coren Mitchell, she has a column in The Observer on a Sunday. She's also a world-class poker player. She makes her fortune off of poker, and she just does TV for fun at the weekends, basically. But yeah, it's kind of cryptic clues, it's connecting puzzles, you've got to kind of think logically, and I really enjoy it.
So who do you think would win and why when they fight?
Well, but this is it about...
We don't have to physically fight. You could have a host of each fighting. So you can have Jeremy Paxman
versus Victoria.
Or you could just talk about the merits of each show.
So Victoria Coren Mitchell would totally kick Jeremy Paxman's arse because I kind of feel that Jeremy Paxman is all talk and no action.
Yeah, like, I do think if he got in a fisticuff fight, he would be a slapper.
He would be a slapper. And he would also cry really quickly as well. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think Victoria Coren Mitchell often wears quite big spiky heels and... also would like spit in your face or something like that. Like, yeah. I think she would be a real strapper.
She's like a badger.
I think if it was the hosts fighting against each other. But I didn't really, it took me a long time to get into Only Connect, and I only really started watching it because my other half was really into it and he made me watch it. I only found out recently it was because he really fancied Victoria Coren Mitchell. That was basically why he was making me watch it.
Your current other half?
Yes.
What the hell?
We've got to have words with it. Oh, to be fair, they've only seen about 7 women in Shetland. So Victoria Coren might look exotic.
So I got really into that. However...
Uh-huh.
University Challenges is a classic, and it's a format that you don't need to change. And also, this series in particular has been exceptionally good. There was a whole article in The Guardian the other day about the characters that have emerged from this series of University Challenge.
Monkman.
So this week in particular, if you've not watched University Challenge for a while, I can highly recommend go on iPlayer and watch this week's edition from Monday the 27th, I think it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Monday the 27th, absolute classic. There was I have no idea what universities they were representing, but it was two captains. There's this guy called, is he Edward Monkman? I think he's called...
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, so this guy, who's a Canadian guy called Edward Monkman.
His face is shaped like no object I've ever seen.
He looks like a reject version of a Thunderbirds puppet. Yeah. He's got a really just square, like a raggy doll version. Yeah.
Just you showing the video to us a minute ago, I thought he looked like Crichton from Red Dwarf.
He does, yeah. He's got this really square head and stuff. And he's got this, he just takes it so incredibly seriously. He's got this really pained, concentrated look all the time. To be fair, he's amazing. So they've just got through to the final this week. Mm-hmm. He gets a lot of questions right, but he presses his buzzer. He's got this really pained look. And then when he knows it, he presses his buzzer and then he shouts it. He shouts the answer really loud with a very Canadian upward inflection at the end of everything he says. So it's always like, Jean-Paul Sartre?
Does he say A afterwards as well? Canadian.
No, he doesn't do the A, but he always goes up at the end and he kind of scrunches his face up as if he's not quite sure, but it's invariably right. When he does get it wrong, he gets really angry at himself. But this week's one, his team was playing a team that was captained by the legend that is Bobby Seagull. Bobby Seagull is genuinely called Bobby Seagull. Yeah. Unless he's just made, I don't know that. I've not got access to his birth certificate or anything. But he, every episode throughout the series, he's been called Bobby Seagull. He's this lovely, cheery, young, like London Asian guy who is the opposite of Monkman, and he's super excited and animated and just looks all, he's so happy to be there. And whenever he gets a question wrong, he always goes, oh, and just like sighs at himself. But in a really nice, kind of cheerful, lovely way. And I really want Bobby Seagull to like be my friend and come to the pub with me. But anyway, Monkman won this week.
So should we say an invitation to Bobby Seagull, if you're listening, Bobby, please come along to the
please,
podcast.
Please, come and do a pub quiz with us sometime, yeah. Bobby
We won't
Seagull.
Sneer at you like Jeremy Paxman.
No. I think Jeremy Paxman genuinely liked Bobby Seagull.
Oh, really? He liked someone.
No, at the end of this week's episode, he actually sat back and said that was one of the best episodes he'd ever, like the best competitions he'd ever hosted against, because they all did really well and they were all nice people apart from Edward Monkman, who I'm quite scared about, and he shouts at you.
He is pretty intense.
He is super intense. Like, it's really funny.
It sounds like you're coming across on the side of University Challenge.
Yeah.
It's a classic. Like, I do...
I mean, you've had... Not only have you had Paxman, but you had Bamber Gascoigne as well. And I mean...
No, I don't remember when Bamber Gascoigne was the presenter.
But even
so... Is that not good, taking it back a bit?
It's taking it back a bit, but the man was a legend as well. Mm. So I think, yeah.
And why don't you tell us why you hate only...
Like, first of all, Max is absolutely right. It is utterly fucking impenetrable. It's just like, suddenly we've got some random pictures on the screen that seem to relate to absolutely nothing. Did I have to watch like 7 episodes beforehand? Was there a murderer? Was there clues to what these pictures fucking mean?
Can I give you
They're
an
like
example?
Hieroglyphics.
No. So for example, well, there are so you get to pick questions. The first two rounds, the 6 questions, and there are hieroglyphics as like the representatives. You have to choose your hieroglyphics. Uh-huh. But no, as an example question, I was watching one tonight on YouTube because all the episodes ever are available on YouTube. It's very useful evening viewing. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example of a question, okay. And so you get 4 questions. You'll get 4 clues in a row. If you get it on the first clue, you get 5 points. If you get it on the second clue, you get 4 points. If you get it on the third clue, you get 3 points. And if you get it on the last clue, you get 1 point. Right. Okay.
Right.
And so you have to say, what is the thing that connects all these things? Okay. So I'm going to try and remember this. So clue number one was... Oh, clue number one, Teletubbies, right?
Okay.
Clue number one, Teletubbies. Clue number two, Vitalite.
What is Vitalite? Sounds familiar.
It's like a spread, Vitalite. Ah, that's right. When I wake up in the morning wanting something.
You think of anything that connects Teletubbies and Vitalite?
The letter
Teletubbies
T.
are pretty fat. Probably poor cholesterol.
No, that's not quite it. Okay. What? So clue number three, the Argentinian flag.
The sun.
Yeah, that is totally what it is.
Vitamin D.
Need something more than that. Something more specific than the sun.
Is it like the little wavy bits on the sun?
No.
The sun newspaper.
The sun's got a face.
Yes, the sun has a face. The sun in the Teletubbies and the sun on Vitalite. And the sun on the Argentinian flag. And then there was a fourth one. I can't remember what the fourth one was tonight.
I think it doesn't matter because it's shite.
That's an example. Well, it's not.
We've heard your case, but let's hear Penman's take on why it's shy.
So, yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's utterly fucking impenetrable. There's just nothing right. And though I got that right, because, like, slightly smug about that. literally dripping and smug. But it's like, as you said, like, Paxman is a good host, but he can be quite sneery and patronising. Mm-hmm. But oh my God, is he nowhere near as sneery and patronising as Victoria Coren Mitchell? I mean, I don't doubt that she's a very clever woman, but she is patronising as fuck. And she just comes across as some kind of repulsive human being, which she can't be because she's married to David Mitchell, who comes across as a nice part of the elite, like London elite, like, you know, and writes his lovely column and everything like that. And he seems quite, and he's good on Peep Show, and he's good on all kinds of shows. So she can't be a horrible person, but she does come across as an awful patronizing cunt. You just want to slap her and tell her to fuck off.
See, I don't think she is. Across as being all witty and dry, very dry sense of humour.
If she was at some kind of party that you were at and you're milling around, she's the person in the corner that nobody wants to speak to because she's a dick. That's why.
Well, I don't know. I don't agree with that. I think that she would be quite a fun person at a party.
To paraphrase my good friend Ian Glover's favourite Dickensian insult, she's a vinegar titted whore.
Oh, and you wonder why people think you hate women. Seriously.
Yep. Cementing your place there, pal.
Yeah. I genuinely mean
resident misogynist, Mark Penman.
Well, shall we call a vote on this one then?
Or I think so. Also, by the way, I fucking love University of Jala.
Yeah.
It's just great. And the bit when the young ones took the piss and they were like lined up one on top of the other. That's hilarious. They're punching downwards, honestly. That's amazing.
Can I also give a shout out to actually my favourite, what they started doing at Christmas, where they have celebrity graduates of universities competing against each other in the Christmas special. And that is really good. It's really funny to watch. My favourite was last year when Kezia Dugdale competed for the University of Aberdeen and she got like no questions right. It was just like, oh, Kezia.
I'm surprised you didn't pick Pointless since you have appeared on Pointless, Mags.
I know, I have appeared on Pointless, yeah, but it's in a different realm. That's a tea time TV
show. It is a tea time
one. I was specifically battling extremely highbrow, difficult quiz shows against each other.
That's fair. I thought
that was a fairer match than the Pointless one.
Well,
so
I'm going to vote for University Challenge. Snap.
Yeah, clean sweep University Challenge. Gotta be.
Max.
Yeah,
I think so.
For its endurability,
yeah,
I'm gonna go for University Challenge. But I love Only Connect, and Mark is wrong, and you should all watch it at some point and give it a go.
Don't do that to yourself.
This is
like Mom said I should try the Guardian crossword one day. So I did, and it was absolutely horrendous. I couldn't believe that my mother's been doing this like every Sunday, you know, not every Sunday, but a lot of the time for
is
years.
That the cryptic
like,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still can't do cryptic crosswords.
No, she can do them. Yeah. She sits down and does it.
She
spends fears doing it, and she usually solves it. Whereas I spent a day trying to do this thing, and it was impossible.
I would love to hear via the socials, though, whether people think Victoria Coren Mitchell is a vinegar-titted whore, as Mark likes to say, or whether actually she's quite funny and dry and witty.
Since I forgot to save the socials at the beginning, it's a good time to
bring the socials up.
Yes, of course.
You can
get in contact with us on facebook.com/FIFE Club Pod. Or at Fight Club Pod. At Five Club, or email us fightclubpod@gmail.com.
I hate you.
I used to work at a call centre, and that's the only way I could get through the day, was telling people email addresses and websites like that.
www.
F for Freddy, I for Ian. Use the native phonetic alphabet, you fuckwit.
India.
Right, Indigo.
Who's fights next?
It's India and the UK. It's Indigo in the States.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
In my place. Back in your box.
Mark, would you like to take the next fight?
Yeah, absolutely. Mine's more of a straightforward one. Again, I don't know why I'm linking it back to TV, because obviously I watch TV now. But it's much beloved television chefs tonight. I love a cooking programme. I think everyone here knows that I love a cooking programme. But I thought I'd go with two that are kind of not on the more serious end of the cooking programmes, at the more light and fluffy end. So one is The housewife's favourite. No, it's not Jamie Brown. Who's Fife Club's housewife's favourite? But James Martin, the sort of slightly lovably rotund Yorkshireman with the very nice car. And then, I want to say everyone's favourite. God, that's biasing. The man, the legend, the man that made Can't Cook, what's it?
Can't Cook, Won't Cook.
Can't and Cook,
Ready, Steady, Cook.
Steady, Cook. Both of them he was on.
Okay.
Yeah. Ainsley Harriet. Boom. The legend.
This is just like, why are we even talking about this?
It is why. I mean, I don't dislike James Martin. I've got nothing
particular. He's quite point. Like, what's the purpose of James Martin?
To attract women of a certain age.
But he's not attractive.
Mum loves him.
He's not attractive, though.
See, James Martin...
You're not in the right age bracket, though.
Yeah, okay, I'm not in the right age bracket, no.
I think James Martin, he's got some interesting recipes. He is a bit kind of lovable in that kind of mothers will love him.
Yeah.
I think, definitely. But I think sometimes he is... The audience that he is playing to, he's above that audience. Or he thinks he's above that audience.
Yeah.
He doesn't maybe understand the audience. Because sometimes the things that he suggests or the way that he speaks like ingredients and how to get them.
Uh-huh.
He's definitely sort of an upper middle class, upper class that he's aiming it at. Yeah, the show would maybe be aimed more at middle, working middle.
Because I totally agree, and I think the two different things with James Martin is I think that like Saturday Kitchen, he was great on Saturday Kitchen because it was him in the centre and getting other chefs on to do their bits and pieces, and it was kind of. It's more basic kind of recipes. Yeah. What can you do? The omelette challenge, all that kind of thing. And that was kind of good late entertainment for like 10:30 in the morning on a Saturday morning before you're waiting for the football to start. But then the difference is because he's obviously like he's a classic French chef basically. Classically trained anyway, and he could do all these other things. Mm-hmm. He worked as a
patissier.
Yeah, he did that for years, and he worked under, I think he worked under Brian Turner.
Yeah, he did.
The other famous
Brian
Yorkshire
Turner,
chef as well for a long time. So, I mean, I think he fulfills a role. I think where he really doesn't do things right is when he's got his own series. Because
I think that's what I'm talking about.
He
kind of he doesn't know where he's aiming his recipes.
Because it's all like, oh, you can get this in blah 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 specialist shop, and you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that at 7:30 slot.
Or also, it's like he forgets again about it's like the London or the metropolitan bubble. Is that people outside of these areas just can't get this stuff, generally.
It's funny you say that because it reminds, I was thinking instantly when you said this, I thought it's kind of like Paul Daniels. Right, Paul Daniels versus Tommy Cooper.
Right,
And Paul Daniels, if he had his, if you ever see his shows and it's him all the way through, it's dire.
Yeah.
But if he's a little bit of something, you're like, oh, that's Paul Daniels. Oh, he's gone away now. That's good. But it was okay while it lasted. Whereas Tommy Cooper, he's an everyman.
Yeah.
You could watch him for hours. And a showman like Ainsley Harriet as well.
I have to say the crucial point for me, does James Martin have his own range of flavoured couscous?
Well, that's it.
Ainsley Harriet wins every time then.
So I do have a small food processor and grinder by James Martin.
A grinder, do
a
you?
Grinder.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't expect to be Ainsley's market.
You wore it to oils.
Oily.
Oily.
Because that is. He likes oil and a good shake.
Yeah.
James Martin is just a bit boring and a bit bland and a bit vanilla. Ainsley Harriet is hilarious. And I don't think Ainsley Harriet, when he first started doing telly, realised. I don't think it was necessarily deliberate.
No,
I think he's just a nutter.
He's just a total nutter.
Yeah.
And people, when he first started doing TV, folk twigged onto that. And so he played up to it. And now he's getting to the point where he's like, I've never seen him for a long time. No, I hope he's not, okay.
He is at the cutting edge of memes.
That is like, very true.
Oh, man.
If you've not seen The Muffin Man,
oh my god, that's terrifying. I had the muffin bag.
Oily.
You boring.
Yeah, it's like just screams in the background. It's awesome. I mean, I totally and utterly agree. And it's like interesting you say, like, where is Ainsley Harriott at? Because my one and only story about a celebrity chef is Ainsley Harriott. I didn't meet the man, but I was at the Good Food Show in London, must have been. It's either London or Birmingham one year. Anyway, and we were kind of going around all the stalls and things, and Jamie Oliver was on, and it was like, honestly, the whole place is just like fucking flying to the stage to watch Jamie Oliver. And then just sitting there, book signing with only two old women queued up to do the signing was Ainsley.
I'd go to see Ainsley over Jamie Oliver any bloody day of the week.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't think Ainsley ever kind of got his own show or anything. Like, didn't properly get enough shows.
I think he was sort of before that era. Yeah. But he was before that era. It was more like a game show.
He's also
before that era when the explosion of cooking programs.
He's done his own cookbook.
Yeah,
he's got his
independent
cookbooks, and he's got his own couscous. You know, that is like that's
the
pinnacle of your career when you get your own couscous.
Well, like Lloyd Grossman.
Oh gosh, I got some great pasta.
The sauce tastes like my voice.
Who thought you weren't going to get an impression this week?
David,
Mark,
it's over to you.
it's like Lloyd's in the room.
Yeah.
But there are so many, like, but this is my point. Like, obviously Ainsley, because he's a fucking legend, and because of being at the cutting edge of memes. But also the thing about James Martin, again, I was going to say, like, he never, like, when he did his own shows, there are so many cooking shows where there are chefs on it you absolutely love. Like, I could watch Rick Stein all day. He cooks nice, simple food. He seems like a nice guy. He bumbles around. I could watch Keith Lloyd all the time because he's absolutely fucking hammered.
Yeah.
This like one for the pan, one for me, and another one for me. Frenchies.
Mark, where have you gone?
That's actually really similar to my Keith Richards impression. Funnily enough.
Oh dear.
But yeah, like there's so many of them that are really good, and I could sit down and watch. And like I like Michel Roux at the moment is really good as well. He's obviously incredibly talented, but also he seems
no, he's not a nice man. He's totally.
You were wrong about Victoria Corrin.
No. Have you not read? He's been like paying. He got done for like Le Gavroche, there's like Michelin star restaurant that he runs in London, was paying its staff, including its top chefs, less than the minimum wage. Jeez, and they were keeping all their tips for staff. They were like keeping their tips for staff and not giving them back. And just like there was a bit of an expose done in one of the papers about it. And he didn't even initially he didn't apologise. He came out and said, "Well, that's just the industry. And when I was learning my trade, I slept on my grand's sofa.
There is
for,
a little bit
for
of that about
3 years and chefs should be grateful that they work in my restaurant and stuff like that." And it was only when people threatened a boycott that they actually agreed to pay their staff more than the minimum wage. No, he's not.
I retract that. Bit of a dick.
So don't go spend your money at Le Gavroche.
The other guy that I quite like when he does have his own show, and there's the pair of them, but there's Gennaro.
Oh, yeah. He's good. The Italian guy.
And then he's pal, the other Italian, big
Italian Carluccio. Carluccio.
Antonio Carluccio. I think
they're two greedy Italians.
They're very funny. They're
and
good
when,
together.
And when
yeah.
they're together, they're really good. But I quite like Gennaro, even when he's on like you know any of Jamie's shows and that. He's always
I've never had him on this show.
Prick.
can I give a shout out to my favourite TV chef on TV and in the paper, which is Yotam Ottolenghi. Love Yotam Ottolenghi in a very middle
Don't
class.
Know who that is.
Do you not?
No. Oh, he's so mags. It's literally just beans and pulses.
He's a gay Jewish. He's gay Israeli chef who opened up a restaurant with a Palestinian chef in London.
Oh wow!
And does lots of vegetarian and vegan food. And he is just like your absolute stereotypical middle class Guardian reading. white person's favourite TV chef, but I genuinely like him. He's interesting.
Also,
and
his
food.
Cakes. There was a little Ottolenghi around from my office, and I got a cake from there once, and it was like it was made of vegetables, but it tasted of delicious sweetness.
Yeah.
It blew my fucking mind.
My friend was a chef, and he used to make he told me he used to make cakes for like lawyers and for financial services in Edinburgh, and they just sell them to these financial services, but they were like cakes that cost hundreds of pounds. Mm-hmm. And then they'd like have them just to impress clients.
Yeah.
But he'd make them himself and sell a cake for like £500 to £600 pounds. He is, I've had some food that he's made, and he is very good actually.
I was just thinking, one of my favourite TV chefs is Ching Hee Huang.
Oh yeah.
I really like her stuff.
I liked the
series. Her recipes are always like really good, tasty, quick. You know, it's easy Chinese food.
Isn't that what her series? Doesn't she have a series called something like that?
Yeah, something like easy.
Yeah, they were really good actually.
So
yeah,
I liked the one that she did with Ken Hom, and she went to China and they did like a travel vlog.
Like a dream team.
Yeah, totally. No, it was good to hear like new China, old China, and going big China. Oh yeah, it was funny. No, I liked it.
All right, if we're doing a shout out, then my absolute favourite is Rachel Koo for Little Paris.
Oh, look, as you fancy her.
Oh my God, yes. Seriously, have you seen her?
Oh yeah, I can see why.
Just amazing. Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, wow. Okay. Right. Well, so
do we need to vote on that?
Ainsley. Good stuff, good stuff. I've got one, which is actually being suggested by our good friend, podcast friend from Saturday Night Shoot, our favourite wrestling podcast, the official wrestling podcast of Fife Club.
Yeah.
James McIver. It's a sterling suggestion, and that's why I'm going for it this week. Montgomery Burns versus Scrooge McDuck. Wow, wow, wow. Jamie, where'd you go?
You just quacked me up. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. After your bit of magic. But seriously, as we launch into it, Scrooge McDuck is a crude Scottish archetype. And I think we need to be done with
that. He is Andrew Carnegie.
Oh my God, I never realised that.
He's totally Andrew Carnegie. Yeah, also, true. Do you annoy me since I was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. Since I was a kid, at the beginning of DuckTales, Scrooge McDuck jumps into a pool and goes completely. It's madness. It's absolute. And then he appears spitting him out. It's completely. No. Even if it was paper money, he'd get paper, he'd get shredded into bits.
Lacerated.
And because it's all piled up, depending on how compact it is, that could even be a problem as well.
It could be, it could be foam, like the foam pits you used to get in like gymnasiums. They could be like foam coins.
So they're representing coins, we're not actual coins.
Yeah, I'd say so. Although I wouldn't like to put them in my mouth and spit them out because it would just like soak up all the saliva. Yeah.
Oh. It has also
coated in hand.
It has also harboured that sort of like fantasy that if I was ever that rich, that I would have a vault like that and I'd be able to do it.
I told Kenneth Young, friend of the podcast, that if I ever got that rich, I would have a money bin like Scrooge McDuck filled with coppers, which I'd pay him an insulting salary to count one at a time, put into piles, and every time I came past, I'd just smash it to the floor and make him start counting again.
That's pretty much his job anyway.
Except that I'm not rich. That's in the opposite. But you're quite right. Every time I saw that as well, like the whole jumping in, I'm just thinking, ready the orange sauce. Scritchy's goose is good, right?
Orange, I'd go hoist in, mate.
And also, Launchpad was a fud as well, I think.
Wow! So, like, what? How do we look into it?
Why did the duck need to fly a helicopter? He can fucking fly!
They couldn't carry other people with them,
but they could fly as well, because he only actually hung around with other ducks. Like, if he had, like, a diverse kind of friendship group...
And
then
all the bad guys were dogs, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. As often said, exploding childhood myths right left and centre.
One of the things I thought would be an interesting take on it is having a look at their net worth.
Yeah.
Oh, that is interesting.
See if that actually exists.
Old money versus... Well, Mr. Burns is old money as well.
Is Burns also not Scottish? Montgomery Burns isn't Scottish. In case you missed that, we took a quick break to find out, and so Mark could pee.
I told you about the fourth wall.
Yeah, you said third wall last week, and I wasn't going to correct you. You can't get away with it twice.
Nah. So, yeah, Montgomery Burns has no Scottish heritage. Yeah, the bit that I was saying that I wanted to bring into it was their net worth. Like you were saying, a bit of new and old, but they're kind of actually probably...
Both old,
yeah. So... Yeah. Burns is worth a cool 16.8 billion.
Oh, that's definitely more than Scrooge McDuck.
McDuck's worth 8.2 billion.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
How are they valuing these? Is this in current? Is this in today's money?
Very much the question I was going to ask.
Yeah, because bearing in mind that... Well, actually...
Fuck you guys, I didn't do that research.
Well, think about it. So Burns has a nuclear power plant. Mm-hmm. He also owns most of Springfield as well. Mm-hmm. And he presumably has other investments in stocks and bonds and whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas Scrooge McDuck seems very much like a financial markets guy. Mm-hmm. Probably made his money from the steel industry.
Yeah.
You know, abusing workers.
Oh God!
Getting Pinkertons to kill them the day after he left, which the guy in the Carnegie Birthplace Museum thought meant that he wasn't responsible, rather than that he definitely was and left.
I love it. Basically, in every episode, you manage to sideway in it about how much Jamie hates Andrew Carnegie.
I fucking hate Andrew Carnegie. He's such a cunt.
Oh my God! So Vince and Furman are not going to recommend us now. We would have even bleeped out some stuff. Ah, shit.
Yeah, get in contact if you want us to. We will. just validate us. Mm. Yeah, you brought up Launchpad McQuack. You know, being a bit of a dick. There was also Gyro Gearless as well.
Oh,
the
God,
tech specialist.
Yeah.
He was a bit of a sort of crazy mad.
Everyone sort of Donatello type figure.
Yeah,
that canon. Yeah.
And then of course there was the
annoying kids.
Yeah, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
God, that's what their name was.
Oh, God.
Yep. Well, there's a remake coming with David Tennant as Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. Be interesting.
I didn't hate DuckTales. It had an amazing theme tune.
I think we could all agree
to that. And Scrooge McDuck, apart from, as I say, the casual racist archetype that they've created there.
Well, no, he's a cunt, and Andrew Carnegie's a cunt.
Wow.
I have to say, it was lovely and sunny this weekend, and I did go down the glen, and I sat in the sunshine, and I thought, thank you, Andrew Carnegie, for gifting this park to the people of Dunfermline. I'm going to turn a blind eye to all your violation of workers' rights and crushing of the trade unions, and just for this moment say, thank you for giving us such a lovely park.
You were singing his guilt.
And on to Maxie's favourite for the Hall of Fame, Andrew Carnegie. But seriously, I mean, he will get into our five Hall of Fame, no matter what Jamie says.
Yeah. So back to the fight. Now we've done Andrew Carnegie again. Burns, like I say, McDuck, he had Huey, Dewey, Launchpad, Gyro, whereas Burns, he had Smithers.
He had Smithers, yeah. And a whole
plant.
He had a whole makeshift army.
Well, I suppose, but in terms of anybody that would do his bidding it was always Smithers running about.
And occasionally Homer would get robbed.
Oh, yeah, roped
can I just see the
Simpson, eh? Yeah, sorry, he works in Sector 7G.
Could I say that one of the finest bits of, excuse me, comedy animation of all time is the Monty Burns Citizen Kane?
Yeah.
That is absolutely epic.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think I was also going to say, like, one of my other reasons why basically for me, The Simpsons, like, when it first came out, it was great.
Yeah.
And again, it has tailed off in recent years. But the one thing that absolutely made The Simpsons at any time was an episode involving Monty Burns. Because Monty Burns, to me, was absolutely the best bit of the whole Simpsons. And, like, in any kind of opportunity, as you guys will know from playing computer games with me, every time I have to choose a name, I choose Spruce Moose.
Moose.
After the minute when Mr. Burns loses his mind and starts demanding that Smithers gets in the Spruce Moose with it.
Hop in, Smithers.
I said, hop in.
And like, it's all entirely after that bit. So yeah, every time I have to put my name in something, it's always Spruce Moose.
That's true, yeah. It's yeah, I'm
including my Tinder profile. Joking, I'm not on Tinder.
No, so Grindr.
Yeah. Wow. Gaysler. We're better.
Casual homophobia, guys. Yeah. No place right in this podcast.
Yeah. What was it? I was just explaining that Mark likes to keep his options open.
That's true.
I think I would have kept my options open by now. Like, I mean, seriously, I would have cast the net pretty wide. But, yeah. Sorry, gay men of five. Alas.
Still single.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Who do you think? Who do you think would have won in an actual fight?
Scrooge
McDuck. Yeah, like, because Monty Burns is always really weak and feeble and has to get people to do things for him, like, in a physical fight.
But also, bear in mind that Scrooge McDuck is a duck, so he's only going to be about that tall. He's only going to be like a foot tall at best and have no arms.
And also, I think Monty Burns is more likely to get his workers to create him a nuclear-powered, like, Iron Man type suit.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking that. Yeah. It's either that or he would just get Smithers to release the hounds.
Oh, yes.
There we are. That's back on track, isn't it?
So, yeah, Scrooge McDuck or
Burns? Monty Burns. I love
I'm
going to
go
Burns.
For Burns. Yeah. Burns on.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, Monty Burns, definitely.
Max?
No, I'm still going to go with Scrooge McDuck. Just like with the, based on the viciousness that he dives into his money.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
he can survive diving into money.
I know.
So he's
I think he's pretty,
nailed.
Yeah. Oh,
is
like,
is he kind of like...
I honestly think even Duck Hatty, Scrooge McDuck flying into Monty Burns would be enough to knock him over.
Yeah.
Like, if he wasn't to have weapons or anything like that, I still
yeah,
think
but,
Scrooge McDuck
yeah,
would win.
Yeah, because apparently Scrooge McDuck has impenetrable skin.
It's
like the Luke Cage. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's Luke Cage, oh, that's wow. all he is, yeah. Wow. So, yeah, cool. That's that one done.
Luke Cage is shite, isn't it?
Moving on.
We'll keep that for next week.
They've all been very unanimous tonight,
yeah,
haven't they?
That's the way it goes
sometimes.
Like me, who folds under peer pressure. And keeps it makes him sweat.
I have to say, right, as a passive observer,
uh-huh.
in the, what was it, the double-decker
boost
debate,
yeah.
I can't remember how he finally voted in the end, but listening to that, mm-hmm. he was all down one side
yeah.
until it came to the vote.
Exactly.
And then
yeah.
he completely changed
yep.
his mind.
And yeah. he went with
it's
the
like,
boost.
Come on, Beaker, yep. seriously, stand up for what you've been saying this whole time.
Spineless.
Yeah, yeah.
So spineless.
Cowed.
Probably yeah. had a headache.
Yeah. Oh, it's so like, good because he's not here to defend himself.
Because he built a wicker man.
We're gonna regret this next week, mm-hmm. but anyway. Jamie, we're going to miss your fight this week because we are well over on time.
That's okay, it was under-researched anyway.
Yeah. So that's fine, so...
the third wall. That's the fourth wall. that was a purpose.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, come on. Sure. I'm going to have to write that down again.
What we are going to do is go to Fife Hall of Fame legend. Yeah,
it's
thank
like
you.
We finish each other's sentences. I love you. No, you hang up.
My skin's crawling.
You've probably got scabies.
No, it's just...
These wounds, they will not heal.
Just the bigot of the podcast is coming on to it.
Jesus.
I made a Linkin Park joke there that wasn't picked up. I'm
no, what
annoyed.
Did you say?
You said... It's like my skin's crawling, and I said, wounds of all
my... Oh, my wow.
That is the most 2001 joke I've ever heard.
So this week...
like you and Beaker, I glossed over new metal. And it's an attempt.
This week, we're going to invite Mags to give us a Hall of Famer for Fife.
Yes, so you might reject my suggestion, because I'm not actually choosing a person... For Hall of Fame this week, I was going to suggest a location as to where you could keep the Hall of Fame.
Oh
okay. Yeah.
And I was going to suggest that we all club together and we buy a council house on Gargarin Way in Lumphinnons.
Pronounce it Gagarin Way.
Gagarin Way. Gagarin. Is it sorry?
Like
sorry.
Yuri Gagarin. Is yeah. it Gagarin?
So this is one of my favourite stories about Fife. And I was driving past it the other day, mm-hmm. and I drove past Gagarin Way in Lumphinnons. I was like, that would be an awesome Fife Club story. So do you know Gargat? Have you ever been past it?
No.
Do you know?
No.
Have you heard about it at all?
No.
Yeah. So basically, there is a street in Lumphinnans in Fife, which for those listeners out there who don't know Fife, West Fife in particular, and West and Central Fife is generally made up, there's kind of three big towns. There's Dunfermline, there's Kirkcaldy, there's Glenrothes. And then all amongst that, there's lots of little villages. And in West and Central Fife, most of those, an awful lot of them, they're either on the coast and they're fishing villages, or they're inland and they're mining villages.
Yeah.
And they've got a really strong, long history of mining communities going back to the late Victorian era. And so Lumphinnans is one of those villages. It's basically a street that runs between Cowdenbeath and Lochgelly, with a few different houses off of it.
Ah, right, okay.
One of those streets is named after Soviet hero Yuri Gagarin, who was the first human to into in outer space in 1961.
Wow.
And he was an absolute communist legend.
Oh yeah.
And so yeah, so he went into space in 1961. It was at the time that the Fife Council was building a new housing estate in Lumphinnans. And at that time, not only were there was there one or two councillors, communist councillors on Fife Council, there was a communist councillor group on Fife Council, and it was their turn to get to suggest names for streets.
Wow.
And they suggest they got through, they managed to get 40 past that the main street off, so you've got the main road in Lumphinnans, and then the main street on this housing estate was going to be named after Yuri Gagarin, the Soviet hero.
Wow.
And so there's now, and so to this day, it's called Gagarin Way. And also, there's a play
By Gregory Burke,
Dunfermline playwright Gregory Burke, called Gagarin Way, and it looks at this once proud communist tradition that there was, particularly about the Loch communities in Lochgelly and Cowdenbeath, and how that's been lost over time. And I was thinking about it today. We're recording this show on the day that Fife Council has announced the candidates for the upcoming council election. Mm-hmm. There is only
anyone we know in there.
Oh, there might be someone that we know in Dunfermline North for the Scottish Green Party. But I was looking at it in the
Lochgelly. Richard Watt, that's who we
know. Does that count as a party political broadcast? Do you have to give Richard Watt? Like, 30 seconds.
No, you have to have
talk shite.
Now there's only one Labour candidate standing in that ward, I think. But yeah, there's the
one Labour and one Communist.
No, only one Labour candidate. There's no communists, there's no socialists, there's Greens and there's Labour, and that's it. And it's this community. So this is the same area. So Lumphinnans was part of the West Fife ward who returned repeated elections in the 1920s and 30s, returned a communist MP to Parliament.
Yeah.
And until last year. Now, it was they used to have a... There was communists right up until... Yeah. Communist councillors right up until the 80s, and then after that they disassociated from the Communist Party and instead of independent.
They were independent communists. Yeah.
But there is... what is something that is really interesting and fascinating about Dunfermline, which to an extent we've lost, but there's still kind of still a memory of it there, and the street's named after it, and there's still which lots of community activity and stuff like that. But this really strong communist left-wing community link in West Fife, I think, is really important.
Well, that's like... Yeah. I think Pimmin and I's... parents, were essentially communist organisers in their youth, and they knew each other quite well, you know. And it's from that. My dad grew up in Queensferry mainly. Mm-hmm. It's that sort of Fife thing, whereas Cowdenbeath was sort of the centre of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. Like my family on my dad's side, ones I don't know as well, were incredibly involved in that process and like the Communist Party and things. And I think it is like really interesting because, you know, people, also if you can imagine back in the day when this was all happening as well, there was people from mining communities in West Fife getting taken across to mines and things like that to see how they're operating. The Soviet Union.
And education programs
It was all like swapping, information sharing. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
I know these days you're all conditioned to think that absolutely everything about communism was so bad that
really
you can't
bad,
possibly take any ideas from it anymore. Yeah. But I mean, it really was something that was interesting. Yes, obviously lots of bad shit, lots of people going across to see things where people were forced to put on a smile and do something like do the total show pony thing out there when actually they were living in abject poverty. But no, I do think that that's a link that would be really interesting. And that's probably the reason why I'm interested in like the communist world and things like that.
Actually, the origin of communism in Fife was an Italian miner. I want to say his name is Marconi, but I don't think it is. Starts with an M. Anyway, and he was actually a libertarian communist.
My favourite brand of coffee.
Everyone's got their favourite.
I thought you were into luxury coffee.
Same thing. Okay. So he was a libertarian communist. And yeah, he started it all. And originally it was a sort of anarchist communist tradition, which then drifted towards a communist party. And that's good. It's interesting that he stood as independent communists again, because again, that's more like the old tradition that we had.
So can we locate the Fife Hall of Fame in Gagarin Way?
I was going to do a two for one for you there, and say that we could not only locate the Fife Hall of Fame in Gagarin Way, but we can also induct Gregory Burke in there as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just that's a great.
I've not seen the play. I would like to see
it. No, I've never seen it. I'd love to.
We'll just give him kudos for doing a play called The Gagarin Way.
No idea about it, but I am now intrigued and will. Yeah,
and if you're actually interested in like the story of Yuri Gagarin, the BBC did an amazing documentary about him. I want to say it was like 3 or 4 years ago.
It was about the whole Soviet space program.
This was the one about the use of Yuri Gagarin as a kind of propaganda tool.
Oh, no,
tool.
I haven't seen that. Oh,
it was like how his life was actually relatively miserable after he did that, because he was just getting wheeled out like a puppet. It was very, very interesting. Mm. So if anyone's interested in that, I think it was on the BBC.
It's cool. Well, I think we're going to need to wrap up here, because we are well over time. Oh. So much for us getting it up to the hour mark. But it's been good, and it's been fun, and we hope you've enjoyed it too. Jamie, would you like to give us the socials one last time?
Why, yes, I would.
And properly.
Okay.
Please do double W.
I will punch you.
W. Full stop. Listeners, he slapped me, not punched me, because he's a poor excuse for a man. Facebook.com/FifeClubPod or at FifeClubPod, on Twitter at FifeClub, or email us at FifeClubPod@gmail.com.
Can I just again just quickly apologise to anyone who I might have offended during the last 80 minutes? It's obviously all in jest.
I think you need to do a special apology to Phil Collins.
I absolutely. I'm sorry for repeating that unfounded rumour where I put basically a slight and the name of a famous person together. For example.
And then you have libel. That's how you make a libel case.
I do not. I would just be.
Okay.
The only thing that's true about Phil Collins I've said is that I think he's shite.
So, in his absence, Jamie, what's the motto for this week?
Ooh. Oh, shit.
I don't think you can drop a motto on him when you don't give us a fifth rule of Fife Club.
Communism will win.
Communism is inevitable.
Oh, that's better. Yeah. That's even better. Communism is inevitable.
That does that does too, because that's the fifth rule of Fife Club.
Cheating bastard.
Good night, people.
Good night.
Bye.
Night.
Yeah, and on that note, we'll go into some introductions. So, with me, Kutch, try that again.
You never give yourself a nice introduction.
Ooh. No,
I don't need to. Well, you know.
Oh, can I introduce you?
Yes!
Okay, so...